Good morning, church family. All right, what a beautiful day God has given us today. I wanted to share a verse with you that I feel God impressed upon my heart this past week as I was traveling home, and it's Isaiah 26, verse 3, which says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." And so I just want to encourage us all, no matter what we're facing in this moment, whether it be challenging or joyful, whatever we're facing in this moment, and especially as we are gathered here in his house of worship, I just want to encourage us to be steadfast in focusing on the Lord, because he will give us his perfect peace. And if we just trust in him, that's what we can have, because our God is a promise keeper. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, with that said, my name is Melinda Postma, and welcome to the Alameda Christian Reformed Church. We are in a new month. It is June. I feel like it was just May, and I was saying it's May, and June is coming up. But we're in June, so with a new month comes a new joyful noise. And I encourage you all to read that, because there's lots of really, really good information in there. And June is the month that we celebrate our 100th anniversary. So that's really exciting, and there are lots of important events coming up, and some that I just want to highlight. June 9, which is next Sunday, we're going to be having our congregational meeting. So after the service, I encourage you to please stick around for that meeting. We are going to choose the next people who will serve as our elder and as our deacons. We don't vote, we cast lots. And in your mailboxes, there's the slate of people who are nominated for those positions. So if you have any questions or concerns, the council asks you to please express those, and you can talk to any one of our council members about that. If you're not sure who our council members are, you can find that information on the back of the bulletin. So again, please be on the lookout for the slate of nominees, and please plan on staying for the congregational meeting after the service next Sunday. Next Sunday is also Good Cookie Sunday. It's the second Sunday of the month, and that's always an exciting time. So if you feel inspired to bake some goodies for that, please do so and bring your baked goods to the kitchen for our coffee time after the service. And we're also going to be celebrating a very special birthday of one of our members, Keiko Pedersen, who will be turning 90, and it's going to be amazing. So there's going to be a celebration for that, correct? Correct? Yes. Okay, so please plan on that. June 12 is the anticipated arrival date for the McClure family. So they are going to be making their way to California June 8, and they should be arriving on the 12th. So please keep the McClures in your prayers as they continue to prepare for that move. And then on the 8th, when they make their way to us. June 16 is the third Sunday of the month, and that is Potluck Sunday. So please be thinking about what you can bring to share for that time of food and fellowship. It's also going to be a service of welcome and appreciation. We're going to show appreciation for Mark Hewitt, who's been with us for the past year, bringing us God's word most weeks, and just really blessing us with his guidance and his presence. So we're going to show appreciation to him. And then that'll be the first Sunday that the McClures will be with us. So we're going to be welcoming them to our church family. June 23rd, we're going to have a service of repentance and renewal, and you can read more about that in the Joyful Noise. And then the last week of June is going to be our celebration weekend of our 100th anniversary. So please mark your calendars for Friday, June 28th at 7 p.m. here at church. We're going to have a good old-fashioned hymn sing, and it's going to be great. Joan is going to be playing. I'm going to be leading that. And we're just going to be singing hymns and praising the Lord together for his goodness to us throughout the last 100 years. So again, that starts at 7 on June 28th. There's going to be a time of coffee and fellowship afterwards that we hope you'll stay for. And then on Saturday, June 29th is our centennial dinner over at the Oakland Yacht Club here in Alameda. So we look forward to that. And then, of course, on June 30th, is our big centennial service. There's going to be lots of special music. The praise band's going to play. Lots of things going on. So please, please be sure to join us on June 30th for our centennial service. What's happening at our church this week? Well, the prayer group is going to be meeting on Monday, tomorrow, 7 o'clock, if you would like to join them in prayer. And then as I make my last few announcements, I would like to invite the choir members to come forward because they're going to lead us in worship and they're going to lead us in a special song. The last announcements that I have to make, Kids Connection. It's summer. And so grades third through sixth grade will continue with Kids Connection, and that will be led by Aaron. So when we dismiss you all, it's going to be third through sixth graders who go up for Kids Connection. If you are younger than that, we invite you to stay and enjoy the worship service with your family. So that's regarding Kids Connection. After our service this morning, there's going to be lunch hosted by our brothers and sisters in Christ from the Alameda Korean Church. And that's guaranteed to be super yummy. So if you don't have lunch plans, please plan on staying for lunch after the service. And then lastly, let's please continue to be in prayer for Mr. Daniel Park, who has begun his treatments for multiple myeloma. Just remember him, the doctors treating him, his family, and let's just be in support of him through our prayers and our words of encouragement. And those are all the announcements I have. So would you please stand for our call to worship? Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 95, and if you would please respond with the words in yellow. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence. Let us make a joyful noise to him. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, heights and mountains. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship without doubt. And now let's humbly come before our Lord to worship him, to hear from his word, and to later celebrate communion together. And now let's sing together.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All the people of God say, Amen.
Please be seated, thank you. Now the choir is going to sing a medley for us, Amazing Love.
주님을 보리라. 감사와 찬양을 주님께 올려드리세. 은혜로우신 하나님, 기쁨으로 당신을 찬양합니다. 주님은 우리를 당신의 형상대로 만드셨으며 우리가 죄를 지었음에도 불구하고 언약을 지키시는 신실한 분이십니다.
Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name.
하나님, 예수 그리스도를 주셔서 감사합니다. 주님은 생명과 죽음과 부활을 통하여 영생의 길을 열어주셨습니다. 그러기에 저희들은 모든 성도들과 천사로 더불어 주님의 영광의 이름을 선포합니다.
Let us sing together.
우리 주 예수 그리스도께서 고난받으시기 전날 밤 그분의 고난을 기억하게 하기 위해 이것을 주시고 그분이 다시 오실 때까지 지키게 하신 하나님 앞에 감사드립니다.
He took the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
이것은 너희를 위한 나의 몸이니 이것을 통하여 나를 기억하라고 하셨습니다.
In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is my new, is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me."
같은 방법으로 식사 후에 잔을 들고 이것은 새 언약의 피니 이것을 향하여 나를 기억하라고 하셨습니다.
Yeah,
우리는 주님이 다시 오실 때까지 성찬을 행할 때마다 이것을 통하여 그분의 죽으심을 기억하고 있습니다.
Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in the sacrament.
Let us say the
Apostles' Creed together.
나는 전능하신 아버지 하나님 천지의 창조주를 믿습니다. 나는 그의 유일하신 아들 우리 주 예수 그리스도를 믿습니다. 그는 성령으로 잉태되어 동정녀 마리아에게서 나시고 본디오 빌라도에게 고난을 받아 십자가에 못 박혀 죽으시고 장산지 된 사흘 만에 죽은 자 가운데서 다시 살아나셨으며 하늘로서 전능하신 우편에 계시다가 거기로부터 살아있는 자와 죽은 자를 심판하러 오십니다. 나는 성령을 믿으며 거룩한 공교회와 성도의 교제와 죄를 용서받는 것과 몸의 부활과 영생을 믿습니다. 아멘. 주 하나님, 우리에게 성령을 보내주셔서 이 떡과 잔이 우리를 위해 우리 주 예수 그리스도께서 찢기시고 흘리신 주님의 몸과 피가 되게 해주셔서 감사드립니다. 주님, 저희들과 모든 성도들이 예수님과 하나 되게 하시고 소망과 사랑 안에 신실하게 거하게 하옵소서. 오 주님, 당신의 모든 교회를 부르셔서 당신의 영광에 들어가게 하옵소서. 저희들은 이제 주님께서 가르쳐 주신 기도를 드리옵나니. 하늘에 계신 우리 아버지여, 이름이 거룩히 여김을 받으시오며 나라 임하옵시며 뜻이 하늘에서 이루어진 것 같이 땅에서 이루어지옵소서. 오늘날 우리에게 먹을 양식을 주옵시고 우리가 우리에게 죄진 자를 사해준 것 같이 우리 죄를 사해주옵시고 우리를 시험에 들게 하지 마옵시고 다만 악에서 구하옵소서. 나라와 권세와 영광이 아버지께 영원히 있사옵나이다. 아멘. 그리스도의 몸으로 세례를 받고 자신의 죄를 진심으로 뉘우치는 사람, 예수께서 우리의 구세주로 구세자랑서 믿는 사람, 또 그분께 순종하는 삶을 살고자 하는 모든 분들은 기쁨으로 주님의 성찬에 참여할 수 있는 초청을 받으셨습니다. 잔을 드십시오. 그리고 예수 그리스도의 피가 우리의 죄를 완전히 사하셨다는 것을 믿으십시오.
Sadness from events in the family and from
Kids, come on down. Where are you? You're all so precious and adorable. All right. Come on down. Yeah. You look so pretty. Okay. Well, welcome. Do you know that you are unique and one of a kind? Yeah? You are. And do you know that you are special not only to us, but to God? Yes, we are. Thank you, Dennis. And do you know that God loves you? He does. And so, okay, we're going to sing a song called The Butterfly Song. And we're going to sing and we're going to praise God and we're going to thank him for making us uniquely me and you. How many of you know this song? Yay, okay. Well, those of you who know it up here, sing out. How many of you out there remember this,
this good one. Yeah, it's an oldie but a goodie, specially requested by Grandma Joan at the piano. And this one has motions. Now, they're motions that I learned as a kid. They're not specifically sign language, but they're motions that go with the song. So I'm going to quickly run through them with you kids so that you know what they are, and also adults. So when we sing about a butterfly, we're going to go like this with our hands, right? Butterfly. When we sing about the robin in a tree, we're going to have little beaks like we're in a tree and we're singing. And then when we are a fish wiggling our tail, we're going to be a fish in the sea, and then we're going to wiggle our tail. Adults, you're going to do this too, right? Yeah. Grandma Joan really wanted to see that. So we're going to wiggle our tails, and we're going to giggle with glee. And then when we sing about being an elephant, we're going to be with like this with our trunks, right? Right. Okay. The kangaroo is a fun one. What do kangaroos do? They hop, right? So we're going to be kangaroos, and we're going to hop. Yeah. And then an octopus. Octopus is going to have good looks. So we've got long arms, and we're going to talk about our good looks, right? Okay. Okay, and then wiggly worm. How many of you know how to wiggle? Huh? Yeah? Can you wiggle? Wiggle? Okay, fantastic. Crocodile with a big smile. Whoop. Like that. Yes. And then lastly, the fuzzy wuzzy bear. We're going to be fuzzy and wuzzy. Okay? So those are the motions to the song. And now, kids, I'm going to invite you to help me lead this. So could you please stand? All right, and let's stand where, you know, everybody can see you. So can you get up on the top? Okay, and congregation, would you please stand too? Okay, here we go. Okay. If I were a butterfly, I thank you, Lord, for giving me wings. And if I were a robin in a tree, I thank you.
Five kids. And now I got six when I don't have it. I'm sorry. I wish I could take you upstairs. What? Oh, okay. Go with Ms. DeGolia. Go, you kids, go. Yes. Oh, God is good. God is good. All right. Ah, there we go. Okay. I don't know about you, but this has been one of those days. But not in a bad way. I mean, well, never mind. Never mind about my day. All right. The Apostle Paul was a man of outstanding talent. God gave him an abundance of many of the gifts that we will read about in Ephesians 4. He was an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. He was also a gifted poet and a great writer. There are a few passages in the Bible more beautiful than 1 Corinthians 13, the one that begins, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels." Ephesians 4 is another example of Paul's skill as a writer, as he skillfully makes use of imagery, rhythm, and repetition to make his message vivid and memorable. This passage is probably one that you've heard many times, and you may very well have studied it in a small group. But as we read it now, I want you to appreciate what a fine writer Paul is. And now I have to put my glasses back on. The old pulpit had, like, all right, here we go. "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men." In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? "He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love." This is the word of the Lord. All right. I put my glasses down. Paul begins by using the image of walking to describe how we should relate to one another. As if we were all companions on a journey. His sentences are journeys in themselves. He writes very long sentences made up of lots of parallel clauses. In the second verse, he elaborates on just how followers of Christ should act. "We are," he says, "to walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." In the early church, long before the advent of the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda, Christianity was known as the Way. Our faith is a journey to Christ's kingdom, and we are all traveling companions. At verse 4, Paul switches the image of the church from a group of individuals to the image of the church as the body of Christ. Notice how he repeats the word one in this section. In this section, as he goes on rhythmically adding one phrase to another, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. He stresses the unity of the church and the church's unity with God, a unity that in verse 2 he called the unity of the Spirit. But when he gets to verse 7, he addresses us again as individuals, saying, "Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." This is where Paul has been going all along, to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that are given to each one of us for the purpose of maintaining the health and unity of the church. Paul's message is that the body of the church is held together by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, who gives the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers the gifts they need to lead and serve the church. The apostles were those who had learned Christ's teachings from Jesus himself. They could speak with unquestioned authority. We don't have apostles now, but we have their teachings in the New Testament. Our prophets are those who are able to discern for us and articulate God's will. Evangelists are gifted to preach the gospel to the unsaved. Teachers are those able to explain to us the meaning of scriptures. And our shepherds are our leadership, our elders, deacons, and pastors. We don't all have these particular gifts listed here. Paul talks in other places about other gifts that the church needs, and we do all have at least one gift from the Holy Spirit. But in Ephesians 4, Paul is focusing on the particular gifts that church leaders need. It is important that we know our own gifts and use them, but none of us has all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we must allow those that are gifted in other areas to bless us with their gifts, especially those with leadership gifts. Learning from our teachers, listening to those who are able to discern God's will, and following those God has sent to lead us. And not just when we agree with everything they say or want us to do. Let's admit it. There are lots of us who don't much like to be led. But for the unity of the church and for our own spiritual growth, we have to let our leaders lead. Paul's message is that if we humbly follow those who teach us and lead us, we will all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature adulthood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. That's one of Paul's long sentences. We will know what we believe, and we will not quarrel over doctrine or be led astray by every new fad that sweeps through our culture. We will grow in our faith to become more and more like Jesus. In verse 15, Paul returns to the metaphor of the body, and he writes, "Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It is by truth and love that we become the body of Christ. He is the head, and when each of us is using our gifts to help one another, the body will grow. We will all grow in love." This is the plain message of Ephesians 4, that we must put ourselves under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and of those that Christ has sent to help us grow and to help his church grow. We must work together with love and kindness, and we should willingly follow those whom God has placed in leadership over us. This is what Paul is teaching us. However, I told you it was one of those days. Aaron, can you bring me that little thing so that I can switch the... I bought this a long time ago for the church so that I could stand up here and change the slides when I wanted to. So I left it back there. Is it on? Is it working? No? Otherwise, I can make Felicia do it. Yes! Okay, good. Thank you. Such joy. Okay. Okay, got it. Okay. Okay, so this is the plain message of Ephesians 4. That's what Paul's teaching us. However, it is not the full message of Ephesians 4. Paul also provides us with a context for understanding his teaching. He gives us the big picture, and he does this in verse 8, where he introduces the work of the Holy Spirit by writing, "Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Yeah. Okay. Paul is quoting from Psalm 68, verse 18, a psalm of David. David wrote, "You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men." In verses 9 and 10, Paul uses two phrases from the psalm to help us understand Jesus' ascension and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, changing that last phrase to read, "and he gave gifts to men." But it is through the middle phrase, the one he doesn't explain, that Paul is giving us the big picture. To understand what Paul is doing, we need first to know that this phrase, translated in our text as "led a host of captives," has a long history. The Gentile Christians in Ephesus might not have been familiar with it, but the Jewish Christians would have recognized it right away. It is part of their poetic heritage. Paul quotes it from Psalm 68, but when David used it in that psalm, he was quoting the Song of Deborah in Judges 5, verse 12, where she sings, "Arise, Barak, lead away your captives." These words that Paul is using had been familiar for more than 1,000 years, and Paul wants us to see the connection between what he is writing to the Ephesians and these two passages. It is obvious that Paul is quoting Psalm 68, but it is not so clear in our translation how these are related to Judges 5. What ties them together is this phrase about leading away captives. The phrase is made up of just two Hebrew words, and the Greek of the Ephesians 4, verse 8 is an exact translation of those two words. There's a singular noun that means captivity and a verb that means to take captive. This is true in both the Hebrew and the Greek. You can see this on the slide. These are the only three times in the Bible that these words appear together, and they literally mean to take captivity captive. You can also see in the slide that this is poetry. I'm not real sure of the pronunciation, but the Hebrew is something like Shabbat Shabbi. Shabbat Shabbi. The Greek is not so melodic. Eichmolosia. But you can still see that the two words echo one another. Both Judges 5 and Psalm 68 are poetry, and this phrase is meant to be memorable and evocative. Take captivity captive. Translation is not easy, especially when you are translating poetry. Our ESV translation, like every other modern translation, focuses on making the meaning clear, taking the word captivity as a collective noun, and meaning the group of enemies that have been keeping one captive, and giving us the image of a victorious general returning from battle leading his prisoners. This is a fair translation, but it turns the poetry of the verse into prose and loses much of the power of the older literal translations. What Deborah sings is not "Arise, Barak, and lead away your captives," but "Arise, Barak, and take your captivity captive." She is celebrating Barak's defeat of the Canaanites that had been holding the Israelites in subjection for 20 years. God has given them a great victory, but it is not just some enemy soldiers that have been overcome. Their victory means an end to all the suffering that comes from being a conquered people. They have taken their captivity captive. They are free. It's a powerful phrase. Take your captivity captive. Shabbat Shabbi. It is so powerful that David remembered it and used it in Psalm 68. Writing of God, "You have ascended on high, taking captivity captive, receiving gifts among men." Paul, in turn, uses David's words to write about Jesus. When he ascended on high, he took captivity captive. Did that switch? Yes. No. There. I thought so. Paul, in turn, uses David's words to write about Jesus. When he ascended on high, he took captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. In doing this, he was drawing our attention to where these phrases came from. It is not just the words he is quoting, but the context, the big picture. Let's start with Deborah and work our way back to Paul. In her song, Deborah gives God the credit for her and Barak's victory, and she sees in this a continuance of when God led the people through the wilderness to the promised land. She sings in verse 4, Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water. She is praising the Lord for leading the people, for establishing them by his great power, and for providing for their needs. Deborah goes on to describe the suffering of the people under Canaanite rule and the utter inability of the Israelites to free themselves. Then she comes to verse 12, where God raises up sages to lead his people. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Break out in song. Arise, Barak. Take captivity captive. That's the song of Deborah. Let's see how David makes use of it. In Psalm 68, David celebrates the establishment of his kingdom. He had brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, as we read in 2 Samuel 7, the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies. Like Deborah, David gives all the credit to God, and like Deborah, he goes back to how God led the people through the wilderness to give them the promised land. In verse 7, he praises God for the same things that Deborah sang about, writing, O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain. Okay. The Lord certainly provided water for his people in the wilderness, but there is no record of his making it rain. These are the only two times in the Bible that this is suggested. So when David writes, the heavens poured down rain, he is certainly thinking of the song of Deborah, as he is when he writes, you have ascended on high, taking captivity captive. Both David and Deborah celebrate God's leading of his people, his goodness in providing for their needs, and the faithful keeping of his promise to save and protect his people. He freed them from slavery in Egypt and freed them from the tyranny of the Canaanites. He has subdued all David's enemies, and with the coming of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, God is dwelling in their midst. The big picture Paul had in mind when he wrote, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, is that he wants us to see that the God who led the Israelites into the promised land and established David in his kingdom is now leading us into the kingdom of heaven. He is saying that Jesus has taken our captivity captive, and the captivity he is talking about is our slavery to sin. Jesus has given us victory over sin, and just as he provided water for his people in the desert, he has sent us the Holy Spirit to provide for the needs of his church. We were slaves to sin, and now we are free. Free, but not left alone, because Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. You don't need to look at that anymore. When we put all this together, we get the big picture. God, through the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, has fulfilled his promise to save his people and establish his kingdom. He has given us what we need through the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit has gifted us with leaders who will teach us God's ways and help us to all be more like Christ. This is how the church grows in unity and in faith. We have a new pastor coming, gifted by the Holy Spirit to lead us. Let each of us now make up our minds to joyfully receive Pastor Matt when he comes, and let us humbly prepare our hearts to listen to our pastor and follow him as he leads us where Christ is calling us to go. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending our Lord Jesus to free us from our slavery to sin and to take our captivity captive. We pray now that you will unite the hearts our hearts in love for one another and for you, so that we can work together to serve you and build up your church. Lord, you provided for your people as you brought them on that long journey through the wilderness. You gave them food and water, and you sent your angel to guide them. And we know that you have sent the Holy Spirit to give each of us gifts, the gifts we need to do your work, and to give us leaders who will teach us your word and guide us in our walk with you. We ask you to bless this congregation and our new pastor, and we pray that you will send the Holy Spirit to revive us, like showers and rain in the desert. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now we're going to sing a song, which I'm surprised that I picked. Very surprised. But it came to me, and so I did. So it's an old song. It's, I think, a simple song. And it's one of those songs that I would not normally pick because it's not very complex. It's a simple song about the simple life of being a Christian and asking God to bless us. And that always just seemed too easy to me. But in this case, when we think about the showers of blessing being the Holy Spirit, it's just what we need to sing now. So let's sing, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." Thank you, Melinda, for coming up and singing it with me. That'll be great.
Please stand.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And God's people say,
amen. How wonderful it is to be part of the family of God, right?
Yes.
So let's sing about that now.